Hello, hello, hello. This is Ginger Wildheart joining you again for one of my semi-infamous podcasts.
And Taylor.
And Taylor, because by popular request...
We are going to do a podcast talking about things on our list.
Yeah, by popular request, I'm going to try and interject as much as I can over the next 55 to 60 minutes.
Music is going to be the first one we're going to talk about.
But Taylor has been asked to join me on a podcast because he's been popping in and interrupting me in the last couple. So he's been asked to share this one by a few people, and he's still yet to learn the art of waiting his turn to talk.
Okay, so now we're going to
what we've done is we've made lists of things that interest us. I'm going to have a drink first. My coffee has changed into cider, which is Rosie's Black Bart sweet cider that we've just bought because we've been on a little weekend holiday that we'll tell you about in a little bit. But my coffee has changed to cider. Taylor is drinking a Coke.
Yes, a very nice Coke, actually.
This is your Coke break. Have a swig. Very, very nice. Very dry.
Okay, so...
First on the list that we've made, I've made a list of 6 things, and you've made a list of 6 things. First on my list is music.
No, please could talk about my list.
The first on your list. You want to talk about the first on your list?
Yes, horror movies.
Okay, the first on Taylor's list is horror movies. What do you like about horror movies?
Well, the most thing is kind of like vampires and,
zombies, you like zombies, don't you?
Well, it's just that I like the make of horror movies because horror movies give me more invitation for my horror movies, so then I can make my horror movies and not have to get ideas for myself, so then we can just get fake blood and blah, blah, blah.
So you're just going to wait, you're going to copy other people's ideas for your own movies, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I need the paint job for my movies,
Because you know that's what they do in Hollywood. In Hollywood, they just copy other people's movies now. So you would be big in Hollywood.
No.
If you didn't have any original ideas and you just copied ideas from movies that I play for you, you'd probably be very, very rich. Well, you're fascinated with blood, though, aren't you? I was fascinated with blood when I was little. So are you, aren't you?
Well, I've got about 3 different types of blood. I've got vampire blood, I've got Mehron blood,
and you've got stage blood, and you've got your own blood. 4 different types.
Well, I've got stage blood. I haven't got stage blood.
You've got a big sack of it in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you have. I saw it the other day.
What is it?
Called stage blood. You got more blood than you know you've got. It's your problem.
No.
Your blood crazy,
I haven't
boy.
Got stage blood.
You're more crazy about blood than vampires.
And I've got fake blood. The name is fake blood, but I don't really like it. And I've also got horror blood, so that's 5.
And we also make our own blood, don't we?
Yeah. And we've also got liquid latex and moisturiser, so then we can make it like what it looked like.
Well, this is presumably for Halloween. We're going to get dressed up for Halloween because we do every year, don't we?
I am going to dress up as a zombie this year.
You're going to get dressed up as a zombie?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not sure what I'm going to be. So let's talk about your costume first. What are you going to do in your zombie get-up? What are you going to be wearing?
Well, I'm going to be wearing cut-up jackets, cut-up clothes and...
Brilliant.
And blood on my neck and green body paint and...
Brilliant. That sounds exactly like a zombie. Yeah. Like, you're going to have to cover yourself in soil, though, to look like you've just crawled out of the ground.
Well, some soil.
I like it. I like it. Very good. Who's buying the suit that we're going to cut up? Is that your money that we're going to be buying that with?
Still got £10, you know.
You could probably buy a little suit from Oxfam for £10.
Maybe not.
Maybe. I've got a funny feeling I'll be buying the suit, won't I?
Maybe.
Well, you'll learn yourself when you're a dad one day that everything comes out of your wallet.
Well, maybe I'll learn out of my book.
Maybe you'll not. Maybe you'll learn out of your butt. Learn what out of your butt? You think money comes out of my butt?
Coke comes out of your butt. Poo comes out of your butt.
Coke comes out of my butt. Is it? And you're drinking Coke, you weirdo. Cider comes out of your butt.
No, cider comes out to your book, Coke comes out to my book.
There you go, cheers. Just drink some bud juice here. Right. I love horror movies.
Not funny, you made me spill it.
Hey, I like horror movies. My favourite horror movie of all time is The Exorcist. But my second favourite is a newer movie called Martyrs. And they're both very weird. Now, what are your favourite horror movies?
My favourite horror movies is... Well, my favourite horror movie so far is... Battle to the Dead.
Battle to the Dead. Mm. Have you just made that up?
No.
You haven't seen any horror movies because you're 6 years old.
Well, I've seen Hellboy. That's part of the horror movie.
Well, you shouldn't because it's a 12.
Well, it's got a nosebleed in it.
Well done. Who showed you that, Daddy? It's a noise of someone being snapped on the wrist. Ow! That's been beaten up. It's different. But it's not. I would say that horror movies is not your biggest love, though, is it? Your biggest love has got to be music. You're mental about music, aren't you?
Yeah.
Absolutely insane about music. In fact, just earlier on, you were writing your new album, weren't you? Which is for your band called Copine.
Okay, so when we get to music, I'll tell you about my band called Copine.
Music's the top of my list, so let's get to music now.
Okay, so my band is called Copine. I'm the leader. There's 5 people in it. And I've created a new song called Kung Fu China, I Cannot, City of Angels, and Slaughtered Animals. So that's the 4 I've created. And
what's the title of the album?
Well, the title of the album is going to be Crisis Not at Name.
Crisis Not at Name. Now, can you explain the title or can you not?
Well, yes, I can.
Okay, so we're talking about the album Copine, but the band Copine, the album's called Crisis Not at Name. And it's all the idea of the brainchild is Taylor.
Okay, so Crisis was one of our songs, and we're going to be playing Crisis on this album. Now, one of my albums are going to be called Crisis Not at Name. Well, then we thought of a different idea called Death Face. And then people liked that so much that we called it Death Face, but that had really short songs.
Now, that is Death Face a previous album?
Yeah, that was my last album, except I did a last single, but that wasn't really an album.
Well, what was that called?
I think, you know, it didn't really have a name.
Didn't have a name? A silent song? Or did it have a song? Just didn't have a name?
It was a song. It was called My Friends Are More Than Happy Without Me.
My Friends Are More Than Happy Without Me. That sounds like a Smiths title. You sound like Morrissey. You're happier than Morrissey. You don't even know who Morrissey is. We don't really play him in the car, do we? We only really play... Who do we play in the car? We play loads of music in the car. Your favourite was always Hawkeyes. And then you moved on to Chris's band, Eureka Machines. You called the bottle album because it's a light bulb. But you used to look at it upside down and think it was a bottle. So it was Eureka Machines and Hawkeyes for the longest time. Who would you say that your favourite group is of all time, though? Oh, your first favourite band, actually. The first band you ever got into was...
Your band.
Well, the Wild Arts, yeah. But was it Sparks or Ramones that you liked first? I think it was Sparks first.
No, it was Ramones.
Ramones first.
Oh, let's go. Hey, oh, let's go. And I really liked that single, so I got it to Sparks, and then I went into Ramones.
And what else do you like? Because we used to like Kiss, didn't we?
Yeah, we used to like Kiss. Well, I don't want to say that story, but Gene Simmons died.
Well, we're not so keen on Gene Simmons anymore, are we?
No, but I'm still going to spit blood.
Well, we're still going to spit blood out. Because he used to be cool. Because it used to be a cool thing, the Gene Simmons blood thing.
Oh.
Back in the 70s, before you were born even. He used to be quite
just
cool.
Just stop talking about Gene Simmons.
Stop talking about Gene Simmons. Talk about the next on your list. Mm. Now, the next thing on your list is television.
Wait. I don't need to spit swap television for girls. And
for what? Swap television for what?
I'll whisper it, but don't say.
No, I'm not going to. You can't whisper on the podcast.
Okay.
For what?
I told you to switch it to girls.
You want to talk about girls instead of television?
Yeah.
What girls do you want to talk about? I can't talk about girls because I'll get wrong of Mama.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
Why?
Because I'm not allowed to talk about girls. There's no such thing as girls. I don't even look at other girls.
I do.
You obviously do because you want to talk about them. I think you look at girls, but I think you look at television possibly more. I definitely look at your television more.
Okay, let's talk about television.
Well, I'd never seen television until you came into the world and started watching television. And what's our favourite programme?
Adventure Time, run by your friend, edge and very gentleman. Take the dog and pin the human, run away, away.
Adventure Time.
Adventure Time, woo! I love Adventure Time.
If you've never seen it, you should check it out if you've got kids or haven't got kids. It's like Alice in Wonderland meets the Mighty Boosh, only for children. So there's nothing really naughty, but there's loads of weirdness about it, isn't there?
Well, there is stuff like crab, but that's in the Amazing World of Gumball.
This is what?
The Amazing World of Gumball.
Gumball, say the word what?
No, Gumball's dad, that the name is Richard, says crap.
Does he?
Yeah.
On Gumball, Gumball's dad says... I'm not even going to say that word again.
Yeah, he does.
I'm going to put a beep in that instead of that word.
Da, 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 da.
Gumball's good, and the regular show is good, but they're not as good as Adventure Time. Why is that? What's so good about Adventure Time?
Hey, there's also another one, Ben 10, Dragon Riders of Birkham.
Well, Ben, your first real love was Timmy Time. And Timmy Time's brilliant, still brilliant. I still love watching that. And then there was Ben 10.
Then it was Adventure Time. Then it was Regular Show. Then it was Gumball.
And you've been educating me as far as television's concerned, because the only people that make me watch television are you and Grandma. And Grandma's programmes are all really depressing and boring. Stuff that you don't know and you'll never watch, like Jeremy Kyle and Housewives of LA, because they're just rotten, rotten, horrible people. They make you feel a little bit sick. They make you feel like you want to poo all the time. But they make you feel like you want to poo out your eyes.
Why?
Don't know. They're just, there's some people on television that are given jobs because they're really annoying. But you've introduced me to, you introduced me to One Direction. And I thought, like everyone else, that One Direction would be rubbish. But you played me One Direction. You played me Let Me Kiss You. Bow, bow, bow. Bow, bow, bow.
But
then we went to see them live, didn't we? And weren't they brilliant?
But obviously, you know, my band's good.
Well, I know your band. I've known your band since before you were born.
I didn't have a band before.
You were singing songs inside your mum's belly.
I was singing, goo, goo, gaga, I will kiss you, I'm going to put your face out of your eyeballs.
Nice. Who's brought you up to talk like that? I do not know. But television, we got bored talking about television now, haven't we? Okay. I could talk about television all day, but because I don't really watch it, so I'm kind of intrigued with it.
Animals.
And what?
We're talking about animals.
But now we're going to be talking about animals, apparently. Animals. We like animals, don't we?
Yeah.
Now, we've got some animals, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've got how many animals?
But my sister doesn't like what people do.
Well, your sister is against animal cruelty, and you want to talk about animal cruelty because you don't think it's a very nice thing, do you? But you don't also think that human cruelty is very nice either, do you? You just think cruelty is a nasty thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but cruelty to everything is nasty. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes that case or they just go up to an animal, shoot it, take the meat out of it, dry it, put it on a plate.
Oh no! And what are we having for dinner tonight? We're having burgers, aren't we?
Yeah. But
and you know where burgers come from, don't you? So when we still eat meat because we've got these big teeth in the back that are made for grinding down meat. That because Mama's a vegetarian and her big teeth are going to fall out because all she does is drink juice and eat soggy vegetables.
Dry meat.
Raw meat.
Do you know my favourite meat?
What?
Bacon.
Bacon. Oh, everyone's favourite meat. You know Mama's favourite meat?
What?
Bacon.
She doesn't even eat meat.
I know, but all vegetarians love bacon.
Why?
Because it smells amazing.
Yeah, but can they not eat it?
They can't because it doesn't come from a vegetable. Apart from that pretend bacon stuff that they make. Because they want bacon, but they can't have it, so they make pretend bacon. I reckon vegetarians would like to wear bacon odour perfume.
That is the most funny thing I've ever heard. And we've just got a grinder so then we can make banana milkshakes because I love banana milkshakes.
But we're not on about banana milkshakes, we're on about animals. We've got some animals. We've got four fish, haven't we?
Wait, let me count.
No, we've got four fish. There's not that many in there to count. We can name them. What are they called?
Mr. Bucket, we've got Mrs. Red Eye Fish, we've got Thing one, Thing Two. That's four.
Right. Now, Mr. Bucket came from a gypsy fair, didn't he?
Yeah.
We won him at a fair and we thought he was going to live for about 2 weeks. 3 years later, he's about the size of a small car, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mrs. Red Eye Fist we got for a company for Mr. Bucket, didn't we? And they used to fight all the time and now they're in love, aren't they?
Yeah, but once I saw Mrs. Red Eye Fist eating Mr. Bucket's bottom.
You did not, because he hasn't even got a bottom. He's just got a little tiny hole in his underside where the poo comes out. You can't even see his bottom unless there's poo hanging out of it.
She was eating
his poo. He wasn't eating his... Oh, you made that up.
No, not.
Right, I'm going to have a word with her later. But you named them all, didn't you? You named Mr. Bucket for no real reason at all, and you named Miss Red Eye Fist. Miss Red Eye Fist, why?
Because I don't know, I had that name in my head for my album.
Well, she's got one black eye and one not black eye, hasn't she? Mm. Well, maybe you've got, maybe you saw a black eye and went, oh, the other one's a bit red. I'll call her Miss Red Eye and I'll stick Fist in there because I'm a boy.
I don't know.
And Mr. Bucket's off Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, isn't it? Good names, I think. Good names, one and all.
No, I didn't name enough Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
You didn't? What did you name it off?
I don't know, I just named him.
Oh, that's even better. Did you name him before you saw Charlie in the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah, before I even saw it.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, next on my list, can I go to my list next?
No, my list will go in 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Oh, we're so good. That's a crazy setup you've got there, but if you can remember it, I'm down with it. Next on your list is books. Now, you've finished your book. You're really good at reading, and you're going sky high at school from reading. You're in the top class at reading, aren't you? And you don't even enjoy doing it. You're just good at it.
Well, I do enjoy stories that I picked, like War Horse. And like Harry Potter, that's really scary, where
Voldemort
holds up Harry by the neck and Harry's finding a python and there's blood around the room.
Disgusting.
Blood all around the room, like, and there's even cuts on Harry's throat.
Voldemort hasn't even got a nose. What does he know?
He's got a squashed down one.
I know he has. Looks like a boxer. He's crossed between a box and a fish. A boxer fish. I wish I could maybe get a fish. Looks like Voldemort. That'd be cool. Looks
except like a fish. He is white.
You can get white fish. There's actually a fish called a white fish. Have I lost your attention?
No.
Okay. Books. You write books, don't you?
No.
You made a book, haven't you? You made a magazine, didn't you? You forgot it already? Because I used to make magazines when I was little. You made a magazine called Poo, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I used to make a magazine called Poot.
Did you?
Hmm. How's that? How strange is that? Just one T difference, and your name is little T. Insane. What do you think of that? Magic, I think. But books, I think we've talked books through. I think we've done books. Food. You know, we've talked about food, haven't we? Because we were talking about animals as food. But there's other food you like. Really, there's the worst kind of food, that the sort of food that parents are always trying not to feed their kids, is your favourite, isn't it? And what's your favourite food?
Sweets.
Anything with sugar. Anything that's disgusting, that's going to make your teeth fall out. Why, though? Because it tastes good. I don't blame you. I blame the sweet manufacturers. Why don't they make sweets to taste like vegetables? Then kids wouldn't eat so many of them.
But there's also things that I call sweet in meat, like bacon, ham.
Is that like a sweet, bacon and ham?
Yeah, in meat.
Is that because it's so delicious, yeah. It's like a sweet?
Yeah, and I also like hamburgers, burritos, chicken nuggets, fish, and ham rolls.
Ham rolls. Oh, ham rolls. What is it? Hand rolls. Oh, you, when we go into your sushi, you like them pancakes as well, don't you?
Yeah, and ham rolls. A rolled up ham. Then it got bacon stuffed inside. Then it's got a round hole like a hot dog made out of bacon.
Is that yours? Is that your invention?
Yeah.
That is amazing. I'd have one right now if I could buy one of them.
I know. I make up really cool things.
Taylor's ham rolls, I'd have one right now, and I bet everyone listening to this would have one of them right now, wouldn't you? That was everyone shouting yes.
It is off the hook. I bet Ollie Roby's dad listens to this.
Why? What would be bad? Ollie Roby's dad's a rugby player. What would be bad if Ollie Roby's dad listened to this?
That I'm dying right now.
You're dying right now? Because is Ollie Roby's dad a vegetarian? I can't imagine. He doesn't look like a vegetarian.
He's massive because he eats meat.
He probably does eat loads of meat. He probably eats loads of ham rolls, actually. Yeah. Have I lost your attention?
So we're talking about songwriting.
So yeah, you're a bit of a songwriter, aren't you?
Yeah, we are, aren't we? This album is called Christ Is Not a Name. I think you heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And and I've done some songs.
I was reading lyrics to one in the living room. What's that one called?
What one?
The one about the animals.
Oh, the animals?
Yeah. What's that one about being different than your dad? But there's a line in there, being different than your dad.
No.
Shall I go and get it?
Well, he does say, still not individual like my dad.
Explain what that means.
Well, I'm still not like you.
What do you mean? We're hairy?
No.
Full of tattoos?
No. No, like the top of your fingers are really strong. And
you're much cuter than me.
No. Writing songs takes a long time to do.
Are you good at it, though?
Yeah, I'm really good at it. And if you are a musician out there, and if you are going to write a song, it takes really long to write a song, or if you're just starting to get a band, I'm not. But if you're just starting to get a band, then just to warn you that it takes a long time to write a song.
Mm. And what's your favourite song that you've wrote so far, of all of the songs that you've written?
Well, Carry On. Well, no. No, wait. In I cannot do my heart rug.
Mm-hmm.
And a song's called Heart Rug, so
Heart Rug?
Heart Drug.
Heart Drug? What does that mean?
I have no idea. but I've got a song called Heart Drug and I like that more than anything else. Heart Drug.
Right, next on my list we have the internet. You have recently got a bit obsessed with the internet, haven't you?
Yes.
You've been on Minecraft.
Yeah, I'm Thrift.
What else do you like on the internet?
What else do I like?
You like shopping on the internet. I know that. You like going on Amazon, don't you?
I know. Yeah, I do.
Every other day there's something turning up from the postman.
What else should you speak about? What I got into internet before?
Well, we could. Do you want to talk about that? Certainly very interesting.
Are you sure?
If you don't mind us talking about it, then I don't mind talking about it. I think it's quite interesting.
What?
What we're talking about that the listeners don't know.
What? That got in trouble for you know what?
Yes, you know what. I think it's quite interesting. It's perfectly healthy. Should I tell the listeners what you got in trouble for?
No. Only looking websites for inappropriate things.
Looking at websites on Google for inappropriate things, I think, is a perfect description of what happened.
That isn't enough.
We don't need to say any more than that. But as a young boy, I'm sure people can guess, even as a six-year-old boy, what those inappropriate things were that you were looking for.
Like what?
Well, let's just say that they didn't... I'm not going to say anything. Okay, we'll just say that it involved...
No.
It involved internet sites that are made for adults, made for grown-ups. Yes. And your curiosity as a little child accidentally took you to the internet site because me and your mum hadn't put a block on your tablet. So you were able to access those sites, and it was kind of our fault, really. But it wasn't like you were accessing something really bad,
like,
or like violence or anything like that.
No.
You were merely accessing what?
Not telling you. No, you didn't tell me.
I won't say a thing. But it was a natural curiosity for a little boy to have. And the sort of sites that you probably will look at for the rest of your life. Because I know sometimes I do.
Why?
Just curiosity. I wonder what people look like with no clothes on. So I have no idea. Nothing wrong with that. As long as you don't make a habit of it and we don't encourage it, there's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly natural.
Whenever I'm a grown-up, I don't think I'm going to go on them websites again.
You're not going to what?
I'm not going to go on them websites again.
You're not going to go on them websites again? Do you want to put a bet on that?
No.
No, you shouldn't be gambling at your age.
Sooner or later in my life, I might go on that Genius website again.
Wait, the Genius one, what's that?
Oh, the Genius website, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, the website that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't see the harm in that because it was just a normal website that's available for everyone. It's not illegal. It's just not for little boys and girls. It's a bit like beer. You can't have beer. Not yet. Not that you'd want any because it's disgusting. It makes your legs wobbly.
And I cannot get that blood dance out of my head.
What's blood dance?
Oh, there's blood on the floor and it's creeping around with on knickers.
What? There's blood on the floor and there was a woman creeping around in a bra and knickers. That's actually a little bit more disturbing than what I found out that you've been looking at. Have you been looking at horror movie sites?
No.
God knows what you've been looking at. That could be a Wild Odds video, though. I mean, we've made videos a bit like that.
So why?
You might be talking about one of our videos, like Destroy All Monsters or something.
Destroy All Monsters?
Well, that's a bit like that, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Right.
It's got lots of blood in and people with hardly any clothes on.
Yeah, army suits.
No, that's not Destroy All Monsters. Maybe Destroy All Monsters is a video you haven't seen and you shouldn't see, not until you're 18.
I've seen bits of it.
I can't say that you should be told off for looking at adult stuff if I'm writing and filming adult kind of material. And The Wild Arts is adult kind of material because there's lots of swear words in it.
I did see that pin guy with the metal face and pin sticking in him.
Well, that could be Pinhead or Sampa. I've got a friend who's got metal spikes sticking in his head.
No, it's Metalhead.
Are you talking about Pinhead from Hellraiser?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit dangerous. But you know what? You can walk into a paper shop and see that on the cover of a magazine. So you can't be protected from these things.
What are you talking about? Does he have a pin there?
Yeah, he has pins. He has nails stuck in his face and all around his head.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Has he got no hair?
No, he's bald.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Pinhead's very, very scary. Glad you didn't take my bet, because we shouldn't bet because you're only six. But next on your list is money.
Oh.
Now, do you like money?
In the case of it, no.
You don't like money?
Well, wait. Money is a little thing that comes and goes. I mean, it's tiny. It doesn't even matter what size it is. It's still a lot of money. Except if it's 1p.
But even 1p is a lot for an ant. So money, it comes and it goes, does it? Is that your response to the subject of money? It comes and it goes. That's the official word of Taylor, is it? Daddy's money comes and it goes.
Please, you talk about more of the internet, because I'm starting to get into it.
We can talk about the internet. What would you like to talk about with the internet?
Well, Wild Hearts videos.
Oh, I don't want to talk about Wild Hearts videos. I can't think of anything more boring.
Oh, please.
No way.
Pretty please.
Get real.
Pretty please.
Mm-mm. But the last one I've got on my list is holidays. What about our last holiday that we went on?
Port Merion.
No, yeah, Port Merion, actually, and that was lovely. But we went away to Spain. And what room did we get when we went to stay in Spain?
I'll give you a secret.
555.
Yes, they gave us room 555. They didn't even know. I thought that was pretty brilliant. And we had the most amazing time, didn't we?
Yeah, amazing.
Toys.
Toys, okay. I have lots of them. I have Hollywood swords, that's my favourite, and Hollywood daggers.
Why swords and daggers?
Because I'm a ninja!
Ah.
What do you expect?
I didn't know that you were a ninja.
I'm a ninja. I've got knives too. I've got knives too. What do you expect? I'm a ninja.
And I'm a ginger. Does that mean I'm a ginger ninja?
I fight in real matches, but I have to kill the bad guys, you know? It is not that easy being a ninja. You have to fight with your bare hands. Well, sometimes you do. If the colonel hadn't got a weapon, but sometimes you have to fight with swords.
No, and you are doing kickboxing, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you can actually fight with your bare hands, can't you?
Yeah, but
you're kicking butt, really, aren't you?
Why?
You could probably kick my butt.
Could kick you over my head.
You kick me over your head?
Yeah.
Okay.
I could jump in the hill too, but then kick you all the way over my head. Then you'd land on your head, then you'd probably die.
And you want to do that, do you?
No.
Good, because I don't want to die.
I'm good because I want to make my album sooner.
Okay, then. Well, I think that we're out of subjects to talk about.
Yes, we are.
Thank you very much for taking part in this little experiment. I think you've been brilliant.
Thank you. I love you, Internet. I love you. Moo, 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 moo. Dee, 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 dee. Mama, 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 honey, 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 mama, mama, honey, honey, mama, mama, honey, 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 honey.
And you can't say it fairer than that.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye. Go and play Fat Toy.
That was my little lad, Taylor. If you're a parent yourself, you'll know how hard it is to get a six-year-old to even sit still for that long, let alone talk constructively about anything. I think you did a great job there. Congratulations to my little fella there. What else has been going on before I sign off? I guess the thing that's on my mind the most has been that massive runaround I've got from a bunch of hospitals. The good news is I'm over this huge spell of depression that I went through. And I know some of you are probably going, oh, shut up about it. And some of you are listening thinking it's good that you're not alone, that other people are going through this as well. And this is for you, anyone else. Just obviously fast forward this or just stop right now. I am going to go into another bit of spiel about depression and the health service, which has astounded me. I'll keep it short, but I went to see my local doctor because the doctor where I'm staying said that I can't do anything without a referral from my local doctor. I went to see my local family doctor, and he told me that I need to see a therapist regularly. And I said, with my lifestyle, there's no way I can see a therapist. I need something that I can just use as a mood stabilizer while I'm on tour or in studios or whatever. To which he said, there's nothing you can do. You could try going to the private sector and see a psychiatrist there, which I did. I went to see a Dr. Libby in London. Dr. Libby prescribed me lithium, which he changed his mind later on, but he, you know, was happy to prescribe lithium. Listened to my case and the extremities of my moods, because I told him I don't want to lose the sadness and sorrow in my life. That's part of what I use to write with. And I want to feel natural highs, like if you're organising something and it goes well and everybody's happy with the conclusion, then you want to feel a natural sense of achievement, and I don't want to get rid of any of that and kind of blot it all out. I want to get rid of the extreme highs that aren't what someone from the outside might think extreme highs, as in just being really, really excited and happy. It's not. Extreme highs can be a negative high. And that's where the urge to commit suicide comes from. This natural high, this irrational and irresponsible voice that makes perfect sense at the time, which is just a result of spiraling out of control through my last spell was through a euphoria that started when I managed to stop a fight happening. I clicked something in me that I couldn't control, and I just got such a euphoric high from it. It spun out of control and took everything with it, the good and the bad, the happy, the sad. And I ended up with this ridiculous idea that me not being in the world would be the best for all concerned. Obviously, the professor that I went to see, Professor Libby in London, like I just said that's a typical case of you know, the extremes taking over a natural feeling of a high and feelings of excitement and whatever. So he prescribed me something. I went to take that to my local doctor. My local doctor was on holiday. He had a stand-in. She said she wouldn't prescribe this to a patient of hers. I'm like, but he's a professional. He's a professor, for God's sake. He's got like a, you know, an alphabet of letters after his name. Surely his word says something. To which she said, well, maybe that's what they do in London, making it seem like London is Mars or at least at the closest, the Middle East or something, and not just a few hundred miles up the road. I was like, well, what do I do now? And she could offer me no real form of comfort apart from wait until your doctor comes back from his holiday and see what he says. To which point I says, okay, thanks for absolutely nothing. This is you know, unfair, obviously, but it's just confusing, and I don't want to lose my temper because then I just sound like a nutcase. So I'll leave it there, and I went to phone Dr. Libby, who promised to get back in touch with me, and I'm still waiting for his secretary to get back in touch with me. Basically, what it means is everybody was pushing me around from pin to pin like a screwed-up little pinball. And as I'm hitting all of these buffers and all these clinging, clanking, chiming noises are going off, I'm thinking, I've dealt with this every time in the past by myself, and I can get through this by myself. And I dragged myself into my running shoes and ran along the coast of South Shields, a place called the Lees. And I as I ran past, I spotted loads and loads of flowers, and I thought, I'll come and see what that is, because you're used to seeing flowers when you travel around on carriageways, on motorways, where, you know, someone's being knocked over or someone's died in a, presumably a car crash, a bike crash, or whatever. And you see these flowers, and I saw the difference in South Shields is you see the flowers at the side of the cliffs where people have thrown themselves off. And there was just loads more flowers than there normally is on this one point. And I thought, I'll check that. I want to come back. And as I was looking through and trying to run and think and, you know, prepare myself for dealing with this by myself, I ran back and I checked out these flowers. And it was someone called Dale that it turns out that my family knew who he was. He was someone who signed himself out of a hospital. How on earth he managed to do that? I don't know. He'd been there in intensive care, and he'd signed himself out and just threw himself off the cliffs. all of the letters that were by this point of the cliffs that he threw himself off, which was like, honestly, 30, 40 foot up. I mean, the only way you could definitely plan on death being a certain was the fact that there was loads and loads of jagged rocks on the bottom. And what a way to fucking go. I mean, the dedication to sign yourself out of hospital and do this illustrates so much to me, not only just the lack of care and attention within the medical profession, but how serious this illness is. Because every single letter that was written, and they're all wrapped in plastic and cellophane and stuff, because obviously the weather's awful in South Shields, so you can still read them, and they're all asking why. They're all saying, we'll go through our life constantly asking why. And it was at that point I realised how many people I would have taken with me if I'd done what I wanted to do only a fortnight before. And something clicked with me. I won't say, the sun came out and it all started making sense, but something clicked with me that a self of preservation or survival or something kicked in, and it was really extreme. I felt really nauseous, to be honest, and for the couple of days following it, I felt really nauseous, almost like my system kicked in. I accepted that I'm going to get no help and I'm going to do this all by myself. And at that point, I realised that I'm completely alone, because what I'm going to do is experience this all myself, put it into songs, and then everyone who listens to the songs are going to know that they're not alone. If you listen to lyrics, if you just listen to riffs and stuff, I'm sure you won't care either way. But if you do listen to lyrics and you do suffer from any kind of, upset upstairs, as it rightly shouldn't be called, then the lyrics are from personal experience, and I'm sure that means a lot, because the lyrics that mean a lot to me that other people write are definitely from personal experience. You don't get close enough to the sort of subject matter that touches on things that I'm interested in without actually going through it. And that, for me, is the whole point of writing lyrics. You're exercising something from yourself and you're putting it out in the world, and therefore being of service, being a reporter on the human condition, if you like, or just letting people know that they're not the only nutcase around. There's a fellow making music there who's a bit of a nutcase. Whatever you do, don't rely on the medical profession, and don't throw yourself off the cliffs. And wait for the punchline. Wait for it to make sense. And it does make sense. It doesn't always happen with a big fanfare and a light show. Sometimes it just makes sense quietly. And it has kind of this time, because, as I started doing this podcast, I started feeling like just rushes of sadness and worry about nothing, really. And then I started talking about it, and I feel all right. So talking's really important. And accepting that this is common is really important. And I can't stress that enough. When you're going through this, you are absolutely alone. It's okay to feel alone. You are alone. You share these things with people, but we come in this world alone and we leave this world alone, and we experience heartache alone, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's fine. It's fine to experience things by yourself, because they're never really going to transpose to another person. It's not a sharing game. It's not a spectator sport. Learning things about yourself and how to cope there for those private times, like running or going to the gym. Something I haven't done for a long time, to be honest. I was running. I was away writing, and I was running and realizing how out of shape I am, and I've let myself get so out of shape. I wonder if that's got any bearing on why I'm having so many mood swings. But it certainly doesn't help your feeling of well-being when you can see yourself losing muscle mass and your belly getting bigger and you just feel tired, and that makes you, someone takes a picture of me, I look exactly the same as I do when I go to the gym. But, inside you feel completely different, and that's why we do it, I guess. So anyway, I came back. I put all of this in a song anyway called The Uninvited, which I thought was so apt, really. A dark take on my old friend the blues, where this, whatever you call it, this illness or this occasional upset, is almost like a demon. It's almost like being possessed by something or whatever. And I thought it's The Uninvited would be, the dark side to the mild friend, the blues thing. This thing comes back And it no one asked for its opinion, and it's given it anyway. And it's quite a strong song, and it's going to mean a lot to some people. And then I came home and was feeling a lot better about things, putting things into a bit more perspective. Everything was completely chaotic before and during the time that I left. So we went away for the weekend. We went to a place called Port Merion. Port Merion is a little tourist village in North Wales, and it's an amazing place. It was designed by a fella called Clough William Ellis, and he started around about the 1920s and finished it about 1975. And it was supposed to be in the style of an Italian village, but I think he's went really overboard because he's obviously very mental and very rich. And he's decided to just have something over there that represents Buddha, something over there that represents Alice in Wonderland, and there'll be Hercules. And it wasn't Atlas. There's a thing that looks like Atlas holding up the world, but apparently it's Hercules. Who am I to argue? But we did that. The Prisoner, the 60s television show that I never liked, because I always thought it was a little bit weird. Not even creepy. I like creepy. I just thought it was a bit boring. The village in that was based around and filmed in largely in this place. And it's an amazing place, Port Merion. If you get a chance to go and visit, I really would, because there's nowhere more exciting, especially for kids, because there's a beautiful beach there, and you can lose yourself on these long walks, and there's a dog cemetery with a big carving of a dog and all these doggy gravestones, and you know, where they've buried the dogs for, you know, since the 20s really. And it's very moving, but this walk is amazing, the village is amazing, the beach is amazing, the hotel, although the food is quite costly, it is amazing food. I dare you to finish it. It's so much. And they bring you free starters, pre-starters, I think they were calling them, soup in a little shot glass that you drink through a straw, and a little pork ball. I mean, just little touches that were lovely. It's a fantastic place. And on the way back, we managed to spot a place that sold homemade cider. We got a load of Rosie's cider, and that's what I'm enjoying right now. And I'm leaving tomorrow again. This has been such a fleeting visit. A lot of the problems that I have are down to the fact that I don't spend enough time anywhere to really put my slippers on and put some roots down and feel like I've got anywhere. I'm charging about all over the place. And this year has been the most insane one. I'm just off to London tomorrow to do a new session for Gas. Three more songs. I've got Robin Guy playing drums on this one, and Dave McPherson from In Me is going to come, and he's joining me for a song. I'm hoping to rope in Francis Rossi, because we're recording at his studio, and I've wrote the song. I wrote it kind of with status quo in mind. I wrote it actually on the run where I saw these flowers, that sad fella that chucked himself off the cliff. So that was another thing that happened that day. It was quite an eventful day, considering I was in South Shields, and not a lot happens in South Shields. So I'm going to London tomorrow, and you know, a little bit, I don't know, not worried, because I know it's going to be all right, and the songs are written. They're even demoed this time, so I've got less to worry about than I have had in previous sessions. And I've got a big day of PR and interviews that is always fun to do, you know. I don't know, I think I'm just worried because I hate bringing a bag home, throwing all the laundry into the laundry basket and then filling it up full of clothes that you saw on your last trip that are freshly laundered, and you never get past the first 5 or 6 t-shirts and the first 2 pairs of jeans or whatever. You know, you would just regurgitate the same clothes. I don't even know why I have the rest of the clothes that I've got. Maybe I should just fling them away. Maybe that's part of the problem. I've got too much stuff that I just never get to use. But anyway, the London session is going to be great. I've been wanting to work at Francis Rossi's studio for ages, and it was one of the delightful things that happened to me when we played Download this year. One of the few delightful things that happened, actually, because it was a horrible Download this year for me. But I met Francis Rossi, and he knew I was coming. He knew who I was, and he knew I was coming to his studio. But I did want to meet him to say, "I'm coming to your studio. You know, if you see someone 6 foot and full of tattoos, don't get the blunderbuss out. It's just me." And I didn't even get a chance to say that because he walked straight up to me, pulled his glasses down and said, "So, when are you coming around to fucking Geth then?" And I just thought that's the kind of welcome that you want, especially from a member of Status Quo. So I am excited. It's a lovely problem to have, to go and record at a member of Status Quo's apartment. It's great. And I was in the Status Quo movie. The same director is making the Kiss movie, and I was asked to be in the Kiss movie. But since I've asked to have all my scenes taken out because of those horrible things that Gene Simmons said about mental health issues and how he backtracked so badly and made himself look like the hypocrite that he really is, I didn't want anything to do with the Kiss movie after that. And probably a decision that I'll regret making in the future. But for now, you've got to follow your integrity. And I just thought it would be a massive cop-out to be extolling the virtues of Kiss and Gene Simmons after he'd just come out with such a load of crap like that. Same reason as I just cancelled an Amazon order of a Henry Rollins book that I didn't have. But anyway, that's just my little take on things. And that was my 2 weeks away writing. And now I'm going to leave you all with the rest of the crap that's on this month's Gas. Don't even know what songs is on this month. We've got so many songs written because we like to write in advance, and it gets to the point we're halfway through now. So the podcasts are topical, and I can do them about what happened to me yesterday. The songs could be, a few months old, recorded a few months ago. And it's the whole thing feels like a mental version of Port Marion itself. Just so many different elements all just crammed into this crazy thing that we call Gas that admittedly come next, the end of next April, I am going to miss. Because there has been a great feeling of service doing this, and I have enjoyed it. It has not been easy, but we didn't expect it to be easy, so no news there. My tip for the top isn't a music, because I haven't had a chance to listen to anyone's music. Apart from when the iPod has been on shuffle again. I've watched no movies because I've just been desperately trying to get songs written and make sense of everything. So I haven't been in the mood for movies. So what I did was I took Courtney Love's manager's advice and watched a series called The Strain. It's an American program. It's from this year. You can watch it if you're naughty. You can watch it online for free. Or you can watch it online for free and send away for the box set, which you probably will, because I'm going to, because I do tend to collect anything by Guillermo del Toro, and this is Guillermo del Toro's latest creation. He wrote the pilot episode, and it's based around this story of his that all came about as a plane landed at JFK airport from Israel or somewhere, and everyone was dead inside of it. They find some parasitic worms from the plane, and they reckon it's something that the Ebola virus, which is kind of, with all the news of Ebola around at the moment, I probably had a greater interest in it. And then it turns into something completely weird, and only Guillermo del Toro could come up with something that was so bizarre and still entertaining and weird and sick and disturbing and stupid and colourful. And it's kind of like a kid's programme for adults, let's face it. There's lots of swearing, there's lots of gore, there's tons of violence, and there's vampires and zombies, and as I said, it doesn't spare on the red stuff. And if you like a bit of splatter in your TV shows, then this is definitely for you. The Strain, I can't recommend it highly enough. It got me through some hairy times, and when you haven't got time to watch a movie, a 50-minute show is great. And if you've got time to watch a movie, you can watch two episodes. It's been fantastic for me. Thank you for The Strain. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I'm going to go now and edit it to make some sense of my wandering tongue and mind. Have a brilliant life out there. We'll see you soon. Hopefully we'll see a lot of you at the Halloween shows we're playing this month. And the Halloween gig itself is going to be amazing. I mean, the six bands that are playing, oh my God, you probably know the bill by now. But Oath, and Tropical Contact, and Baby Chaos, and Scaramanga 6, and Eureka Machines, and then the Ginger Wild Heart Band. What a fantastic night. And we're also playing York the day before that, the 30th, and we're playing Manchester on November the 1st, and Glasgow on November the 2nd, and then I leg it off to LA to go and record with Jarrett from Bowling for Soup, who wants to get involved in the next set of Gas songs. So, yeah, you can't say my life is boring, and exciting is a word that I don't like to use very much, but I would say that it is technically very exciting. Thank you. Bye-bye.
you for listening to this podcast. I'll be with you in 206 hours. Bye.